Transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Where your spirit is, there's liberty. Where your spirit is, there's healing. Where your spirit is, there's freedom. Every bondage, every oppression is broken today. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Because you are in this place, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs. In the name of Jesus. Your name be praised forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome somebody by your side. It's good you are here today. I'm excited you are here today. Thank you for joining me today in the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. So I'm happy you're here with me. Let us be sitting and feasting in the presence of God. And I'm excited you're here with me today. Thank you. I want to begin something with you that I trust will, again, as every time I speak, help you, move you forward, lift you up in your walk with God. Every time I speak, I trust the Holy Spirit will take the words that I speak and use them to move you closer to God, closer to His plan for your life. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about, I don't want to say title because I'm not just titled, I don't know what to call it. If you say it's God's plan, whatever, but let me talk to you about something I believe will really, really help us in our walk with God as we grow into all that God has in plan in store for us. What does God require? What does God require from us? We just finished a discussion the past 3 hours, two Sundays and a Wednesday last week. We talked about fasting in fasting and the place of fasting and how we can receive so much. We can get something actually from nothing, from just fasting. And on Sunday, I shared something that the Lord wants me to go further on. And we stopped, and I think I looked at Isaiah 58. And I don't know, there's no point to turn there. We don't have much time. Maybe I'll do this Wednesday, next Wednesday. But we looked at Isaiah 58, and part of what we considered was what God was after in fasting. Just stay with me. I'm not talking about fasting again. I've done some work in that direction. I trust God, you've been blessed and you understand the principle, and then you can engage it in your life. My desire is that you engage these things and do these things and practice these things in your life. Alright. So, when we got to this point, I told you that fasting is like hearing God. So we'll talk about prayer and fasting. So I said it is the combination of the same two Christian activities, which is to talk to God and to hear from God. And then I told you, and God told us in Isaiah chapter 58, he said, is this the kind of fast that I want? Where you still oppress people and you do all that kind of stuff. So that's not, you've not done anything. This is the kind of fast I want. Give your food out, do all that kind of, talk about all that. I don't want to turn there. Now, that brings us someplace that I want to share with you, and I hope in the next 2 hours, this Wednesday, next Wednesday, we'll be able to really appreciate it, and it will drastically change your Christian life and approach to God's work. Don't mind my introduction, and don't mind where I am right now. I'm excited, and I am imagining the impact this will have in your Christian walk. That's why the impact in the nature of what pasture, and how we go in the Word of God, and how lives are changed around in our lives are changed, and all around us things are happening, and then the revival that can be bettered by our ministry. We keep on this path, receiving God's truth and applying them to our life. I want to talk to you about the heart and the activity. And we see in God's act, in the activities that we have to do, in essence, in activities that start at fasting, praying, coming to church, soul winning, giving, worship, praise. You see, all those activities that we are called to, I want you to understand that from there, God is not interested in the activity. He's not interested in what you do or don't do. First fruits, for example. Remember when I told you and taught you about first fruits? What is God after when he talks about first fruits? What is God after when he talks about tithing? Once you can understand that these activities become interesting, and you do them and get the true benefit of them. It's not about what you do or a perfection in the activity, doing it right or doing it very well, but the heart. I'm going there. All kingdom principles are about the heart and not the activity. All kingdom principles are about your heart and not the activity, the principle themselves. All kingdom principles. I was making my note. I wrote many. I changed the many to all. All kingdom principles are about the heart, not the activities in themselves. All. First fruits. When God says, just try. When God says, you take the first of what you have and bring to me. What is God after? The first of what you have. I remember the first time something, I think, okay, I remember the first time I gave God a tie or something. And it was the 1st of January. Somebody came and said, "Oh, Pastor, I just bought this tie for you," and all that stuff. And I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I appreciate you so much." And it was a gift, so on a gift. But it was the first gift I received. And so that year, just that January 1st, watch night service. So that was the first gift of that year. "Oh, thank you, Jesus." So took that gift and I said, "Lord, this belongs to you." The first fruit. Now, God is not going to wear a tie. God is not interested in the tie. Because I want to use something practical. I didn't want to use the children of Israel, first fruit, tomatoes and corn. Because that's what they did, actually. They went to the field and they harvested the first crops, the first harvest. They took it and they brought it to God. First fruits. This is the first harvest. Anytime we come into a new job or increase in our finances or promotion, something, the first, Holy Ghost, we take it. I'm praying for you. We take it and then we go give to God. I was paid 100,000 before, but now they increased my salary to 150. So the first time they pay me 150,000. I take that 150,000. I say, "All right, I paid the first fruit from the 100 before, which was my level. Now this is a new level. So I take the 50,000 naira and I come to God, and I say, Lord, this is yours." I don't know if this is 2 weeks. This looks like 5 weeks, 7 weeks, because something is coming up there again. I come to God and I said, "God, this is yours." You're not coming and just saying, "Now, nah, bring my first fruit to church and so give it to church." Lord, this is yours. You must do that consecration in your heart even before you come and drop it. That's a lot of people miss the thing. I have to talk about that thing I always want to tell you about. What you do before you give the gifts and after. That's important. So you come, I give 50,000 and I come. I give it to God. I'm not seeing church. I'm not seeing people. I'm seeing God. I'm interacting with my God. So I give it. This is my first fruit. Or maybe the first of the. Please, I'm just using first, but I'm using something significant. Fasting, everything applies. This applies to everything. And then, or the first of the my first pay of for the week, or the month, or the week, the day, or whatever. I take the first I receive in January. I take the first month, the first week. First, the operative word there is what? First. So I take and I come and I say, "Lord, this is..." God is not going to now take the 25,000 naira and now spend it. Or they increase my salary in August and then the thing on top is the first time I'm receiving this kind of amount. "Lord, this is yours." I take it and I say, "Lord, this is you. This belongs to you." I step aside. Is God now going to spend the 50,000 naira? Or God will be throwing back dive in heaven that you just gave 100,000 naira first fruits. It's excited. Or that somebody gave you something, the first of it. Say, "I've never received this kind of gift before. This is the first time." When somebody gave me dollars sometime, "This is the first time I'm receiving dollars." I said, "I'm not going to take this and say, woo, glory to God. I'm going to give this back to God. This is the first time I'm receiving dollars." Give it back to God. So now that I gave it back to God, God is super excited because he now has dollars to spend. All right. You are with me? This is agent's handwork. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't fall. So, what is God after in first fruits? What is God after in a tithe? So, I take a tenth of my income and I give to God. What is God after? I take a tenth of the income and I give and I come and say, "Oh, dear Lord, this is yours." And I keep that. What is he after? Okay, I spend time in fasting and prayer. What is God after? That I wear sackcloth and ashes and I can come and say I fasted 21 days. He said you received your reward. What is God after? That I come to him, all right, let's go, Isaiah 58, and I fast and I go back. I am an oppressor. I don't give. That's what it's talking about. They don't give, they don't do other stuff, but they fast very well. So what is God after? You see clearly, it is your heart he wants, not the activities, not the things you do. So I might not be able to praise God as much as you do and dance. I may not be able to dance and have a voice and praise. And you see, you can dance very well and do that. I try to dance. I can't. You can dance more than me. And you say, so who prays more? You say, look at that man. Praise. But you do all that activity. And we now think that he's interested in the activity. He's not. He's interested in our hearts. I can dance and praise God and do all that in church and where we are dancing. But I can go out and not live a life of praise to God at all. Do I really praise God? Is God really to be praised in my life? Will I say it out there? God to be praised. Will I live a life of praise to God? Which one do you think he wants? The dancing praise, singing and dancing praise and jumping, or the life of praise to God? What do you think he's after? So the reason why we sing and dance and sing all that praise, you see now, he wants us to carry praise and live like that. You see now, you hear that in the church. Worship is a life of worship. Not the song we sing here. You can sing here and do all that stuff here, but your life ought to be a life of worship. Praise, worship, fasting is coming to speak to us, to get our hearts. He says, my son, give me your heart. Let your eyes above my ways. My son, give me your heart. You see? All kingdom principles, all kingdom activities, they are about their hearts, not the activities themselves. Take a Bible to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. A lot of people, a lot of Christians become, now I'm going there, I'm just going to say it now. A lot of Christians now, they become hypocrites because while they are in the activity, their hearts are not there. So they can do all the activities and then the heart's not there. So I can come to God doing what he says for me to do, but my heart is actually somewhere else. So that I'm doing the activities, but my heart is somewhere else. Matthew chapter number 15. Verse number 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouths and honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So it says, while you are doing the honoring and the nigh, I'm coming nigh to God and doing all that, he wants to be walking somewhere. Oh God. While you are coming to God in the fasting and prayer, he wants to be walking somewhere. While you are coming to God in the praise and dancing and singing and doing all that worship, guess where he wants to be walking? Somewhere else. So if you now come with doing the activity and you don't come with your heart, he doesn't have anything to do. He said, you're a hypocrite. I don't have any work to do because your heart is not here. What I'm after is your heart. You can't give me anything. We can't give God anything. All right. I'm preaching. We can't fast enough for God. Remove your mind. I taught you. But you can't fast enough for him. Remove your mind. What we do give him, he now begins to owe you. So I get my first food. I get my tithe. So therefore, I'm angry with God. Are you? When did we start that one? So he's now owing you after you give your first and your tithe.
He owes you. You don't have first fruit without him. So what when we're not doing the activities, what are we thinking? I come to church. So that God will not be God. Okay, tomorrow I'm not coming to church. Then God will just fall from heaven. Do not say why. He said, I'm no longer God. I'm so sad because Nena, he says she's no longer going to serve me. So it doesn't affect him. If it doesn't affect him, then what is the activity for? I'm preaching to what pastor now? If it doesn't affect him, then what is the activity for? If it doesn't make him, then what is it for? If I can't give to God and not make God happy, God now say, hey, oh, and happy there, then what is now the giving to him? In the relationship between God and man, man is the beneficiary. In every respect, our hearts are changed when we come to him in prayer and fasting. Our hearts are changed when we come to him in praise and dancing and singing. Our hearts are changed when we come with our substance and give to him. He said, but I give to him. Is it not me that I'm not giving to him? He's doing something in your heart far much more than the gifts. Yasabaka. I'm preaching. He's doing something in you far much more than the gift you have brought. So you say, I brought stuff to God. At least this should be what he has done in your heart, making you liberal, open, changing your mindset, and be not again. I can't be poor. I can't be broke in my life. As you are doing all that, he's doing something in your heart. That one is bigger than the activity of the gifts. So it says, I want your heart. I want you to be liberal. You are becoming a liberal person. You are changing. The activity of giving my first fruits, when I come with the first thing I receive, the first harvest, the first thing. So I go and I take and I come and say, this is the first. It's not a game, Lord. This is the first. That says you are first in my life. You are first in my life. You see, the activity is saying something. Is my heart in my heart. So as I come with that, he says, really? Now, that is the case. Then, do this. Then, I want you to be like this. Then, the person that you brought those gifts for, I said you are first, now tells you to do this. You now say, no. Then he's not first. That's why you can see a believer, first fruit, tithe, everything, miserable. All together. Hypocrite in church. They kill everybody, crucify everybody, fire everybody. They don't understand. Because if you say that, when you bring that and you come with your heart doing that, he what? He walks in your heart. Are you still here? They honor me as I prophesied it. They honor me. They draw nigh unto me with their mouths. Honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. The heart is far. The heart is not there. So they are there, but their heart is not there. So I want to walk with their hearts, but they are here with their body. And I can't do anything with that. And they are doing everything I want. So I don't seem to be able to avoid Isaiah 58. Can we now turn to Isaiah 58? Because we read it on Sunday. Quickly. Cry aloud, spare not, verse number one. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. Is it possible that these people were seeking daily, delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God? They ask of me the ordinance of justice, that they take delight in approaching to God. So I come to church. I come to church. I'm in service. I make the meetings. I make the meetings, but my heart is not there. So while I'm doing the activity, so that, and he can be doing his own thing, I didn't come in my heart.
So I'm just doing activity. He has nothing to do in me. So I finish the activity and go back and wonder what is going on. When will he do something in my life? When will he, this bitterness, when will he change it? You didn't come with your heart. You didn't come with your heart. Your heart is not here. The activities, all right, are you here? The activities designed to break bitterness. As you do those activities with your heart, you are changed. It doesn't need to come from heaven and thunder. He said, stinginess, I'm praying for stinginess to leave me. He's saying, do these activities. Give. Project is there, give. Tithes, give. Offerings, give. First fruit, give. By the time you finish giving all those givings and you are giving them and you are participating with your heart, guess what? Stinginess will just break. While you are doing the activities, it's what's changing your heart, it's working in your heart. Are you still here? Okay. You want to be, I don't know much in this direction, but I think you can, maybe MD can help us here. You say, would you stand on the stage and be singing, No. But those activities are doing something else somewhere. Are you here? You see what I'm saying? The activity, doing these things, everybody say, I see them do those kind of things. Do they come to church and say, worship, raise your hand. It's time for praise. All those things are for something else. All the prayer, thank you, Pastor. You're the only one in church today. All those things are for something else. And while we are doing them, sometimes we get tired. Because we are wondering. And then people get confused. This tithe is what? It's tithe. They never came with their heart. Giving it. But their hearts were never there. They never became liberal. They never became anything. In fact, they became wickeder. I'm more wicked than anybody. They are the first people through the door. They not become kingdom police somehow. They do everything. Frustrated. You don't even do it as right as they do it. You dress, your dressing is not covering as much as they cover. They're pushing everybody there. You see where the Pharisees came from? Hearts. That's why we can still have Pharisees today. Today. We can still have. That's why we can still have it in any denomination, any church, anywhere. Anywhere. Because it can happen. Because we call for activity. Everybody come to church. They came to church, but when it reached time to give, they didn't. They drew near to God, but when it was time to hear his voice and to receive his instruction, they didn't. They were doing the activity, but not with their hearts. So, let me show you one. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 25, go there quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Look at this scripture. Normally, I want to begin from here. But I decided to give you the whole gist first. Now that you have the gist, can we enjoy the scriptures? In verse number 1, 2 Chronicles 25, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. See it now. That was not there. That was like children of Israel. They were doing the activities, but their hearts were not there. They were doing the activities, but for another whole reason and motivation entirely. We are the nation that seek God. So listen to me. When the children of Israel passed you, when an Israelite passed you, you will know that you are a sinner.
They were doing those activities, but their hearts were not perfect. This guy, this scripture brings it out. They did what was right, but not with a perfect heart. They'll come to church, but another reason entirely. Their reason is established. God's own is doing his own. There's another thing entirely. Their hearts are not there. He cannot talk. There's no point. Let him not just bother saying anything. Are you still here? All the activities, all the things that God wants us to do, they go to one place. They change in our hearts. That's why we say God's word was not given to increase your knowledge, but to change your hearts. So if I'm giving, I'm becoming liberal. That liberality is not just in church, but is demonstrated everywhere. On the road, while driving, doing something. Everything I do, I'm diligent in church. This diligence in church. If that diligence applies to everything I do everywhere, the diligence is changing me. It's changing, making me a kind of a person, a trustworthy person, an efficient person. The man is changing, coming to God. Are you still here? So this man did things, but his heart was very far. God says, you see, when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So give, 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 give. Come on, give. Then when you put it in, guess what happened? Drawing your heart, drawing your heart, drawing your heart to God. The activities is going to your heart. Come on. The principle, the kingdom principle. They teach all the kingdom principles. You see people with kingdom principles. All the kingdom principles complete, but hearts incomplete. The difference. Because all the principles are for your heart. Changing you. God is more interested in the man than any other thing else. God is more interested in your heart than all the things that you do. So let's go to David. What does the Bible say about David? He said, I found a man after my own heart who will do all my will. A man after God's heart. Heart. You see where God is going to? Heart. Heart to heart. A man after my heart. He has the kind of heart. Worked on that heart. That heart is near me. David, perfect. Far from perfect. Line Saul and David together. David committed. Put it together. Most people have not done that work. But look at it now. He said, go to one place. Come back. Go. He don't do one thing. He don't do like, this. Activity. Good. David was committing from place to place. Committing. But his heart was there. Whenever you come to David and say, David, see. That's what David do. David jump. When he came to Saul, where was his heart? He said, no, let the people not go and laugh. Just come. Let's stand. Just stand by my side. Just the people. Where was his heart? Not my people have any heart that near God at all. It was just so that he can just picture perfect, everything just be okay. But his heart was not there. So as we engage in Christian worship today, as we engage in fasting, we must apply our hearts. We must bring our hearts to him too. Our hearts must be involved in the activity so that he can touch your heart. He can touch your heart. He can tell you, he can speak to you. Because in Isaiah 58, that was the problem. They could fast. They could afflict their souls. But their hearts were very far. What they would do following it, you'll be amazed. If they owe salary today, you'd be amazed, the person. They don't tell you it's a ticking in church. It's the one that sits in front. But they will not pay anybody. 3 months, 4 months. Workers are crying in the field. But he's here, dancing. Even giving first fruits. He doesn't understand first fruits. He doesn't understand. What kind of a heart does the man have? A heart that has not been touched by God. He will engage in 21 days dry. All the workers know, in short, he will now force them to do dry. I'm the head of this organization. We are fasting. Canteen woman closed down. You don't bring book food to this workplace. That is how this place. Everybody is frustrated, angry. They are going behind their back talking. Everybody. What kind of fast does God want? Where his heart is totally away from God. Jesus healed somebody. There was a woman. I don't want to turn there. I want this lesson to rest more than just turning scriptures. I can give you the scriptures if you want, or you can search for them. There was a woman, she was ill, sick, bad, bent over. Jesus saw her. This was not a prayer point. This was not, let's do stuff, let's do stuff. So see, let me touch this woman. So come. Lay down, woman. Sir, they got angry. They said it was a Sabbath day. The man said, hey, you brought the sick people. Sick people, he said, come on that day. This is not day. There are many days for healing sick. It's Sabbath day. Jesus tired. This is somebody who has read the Torah. He knows the Bible. He doesn't need to. You see how Jewish we are? Okay, sorry, I'm using a funny word. That is a personal word. As in how we are so off. We need to look for scripture. They don't look for scripture. I can never forget. I'll tell you that story. Imagine they come to Herod. This wise man came to Herod and said, we see a star. So he called Jesus Christ. He said, Coco. He said, you know, he said, oh, Bethlehem of Judah, thou the least. You know, don't mind me. I always say it like that because that's the way it was. They didn't research. They didn't say, give us today. They didn't research. It was there and then. That night, they started. They quoted the scripture word for word. From this, the Savior shall rise out of the list of the, but their hearts. Savior. They didn't bother to look for Savior. They didn't bother to check. They didn't bother to honor him. So, this woman is healed. This guy that knows the scriptures, he will recite it. If we stand side by side, they say, who to make pastor? I will not qualify. If I quote three scriptures, I'm exhausted. He will just take the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30. He won't add one extra chapter at the back. He said, let me give you chapter 35. It's not in the Bible, but I can give you 35. I'm telling you, he will not give you. Are you here? But where was his heart? Far away. So, again, another story. So you see the man's heart was off. Very off here. Jesus said, can we look that story in Luke 13? Can we take that story? Did Luke 13? Let me see. Sure, it's in Luke. Okay, look at it. Verse number 12. Verse number 11. And behold, in verse number 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. She didn't come. She didn't try. Jesus, compassion, heart of God. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. God was glorified. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, I like it when Luke switches from the Lord answered him. Did he say, and Jesus? Don't worry, that's another man. They say, and the Lord answered him.
thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said this, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Who do you think the adversaries were? All the people who knew Bible. That's it. All his adversaries and the people. Separated them. Heart. The heart was off. So they had the activity. He said, you will carry ox and go and water. You see, that one is your own. You must not die because of Sabbath. You need the ox to walk. But now, this woman is sick. But you're angry that God is angry. No heart. No right heart. So they were doing right things, but not with a perfect heart. Because the thing they did was okay, but not with a perfect heart. He went to change their heart. He went to touch that their heart. So when you come to him and you are doing that stuff, he'll be touching your heart. You'll be soft towards people, humans. Because Paul said sometime, which I will do next week, the Lord says, you shall not muzzle the ox in that tread the corn. So imagine God give an instruction. We'll go there next week. Are you still here? He said, when you carry oxen, look at this. You take an oxen to tread corn for you. He said, don't cover the mouth. That's the muzzle. Tie the mouth. So that you tie the mouth so that the oxen that is treading the corn cannot eat from inside. So you do it. He said, don't muzzle the oxen that treaded the corn. He's doing that stuff. He's seen the corn, but he cannot eat it because you tie his mouth. He said, don't do that. What do you think God was interested in? The oxen or their hearts? The oxen. He didn't want them to have a wicked heart. So what kind of a heart of person will allow this oxen to be doing this thing, going around, treading the corn on a meal? He said, but you tell him, I say, don't do that. So all those instructions, activities, instructions. What was he trying to touch? If a person took heed to that instruction and did not muzzle the oxen and gave God his heart to see, he will see clearly that God wanted him to have a soft heart, a heart towards people, a heart towards things. Because Apostle Paul came later in New Testament. He said, does God care for oxen? Hi, that scripture, I'm beginning to teach you today. This is that scripture being revealed to you. I've told you that scripture before. So we'll look at it next week. I was sharing with someone, I said, the things that God worked in my heart, there are things that worked in my heart that it's not everything you just go and talk and shout. You look at them. I said, calm down. Let God work in you. A kind of your heart. I was talking to someone about something, but I'm going somewhere else with this. Now, this is that scripture. So God wrote, he gave a commandment by Moses. Don't muzzle the oxen that treaded the corn. He was not in any way interested in the oxen or the corn. Those are useless. Useless. If you like, muzzle the oxen. What will happen? You will not go to heaven. So half of the things go to heaven. You see now? You not go to heaven. If the oxen die, you go to heaven, you still go to heaven. Don't change it. You like, muzzle the oxen. If you like, keep the cult intact, whatever. But that instruction was not about the oxen nor the corn. The instruction was about their hearts. Do God care for oxen? When I read that scripture, which we will now look at next week, that's the only way I can keep the appetizer up. If I tell you that, you say, you know, we will now look at it next week. Paul said, I read the scripture, cold, catch him, cold. I see the poor water. I was reading Bible like this. Does God care for oxen? Then why did he give the instruction in the first place? If you are not there, not following that instruction, you now find out that the best instruction is useless.
saw said, "Does God care for oxen?" Which kind of God is this one? He said we should not muzzle the oxen. I would think that he cares about the oxen. He said he does not. That instruction was to touch your heart. If you sit down with God, you say, "Don't do that." He said, "Because you cannot, somebody can be around you, profiting around, doing something for you, profiting you." And he said, "Not profited." Ooh, revelation from oxen. The instruction was not about corn or oxen. That instruction is alive that time, it's alive till today. It will be alive till the next 25 years. Say, Old Testament has finished, that's past. No, heart has not finished. Working hard. So Paul was quoting that thing and showing another light and truth from that scripture. That's when I saw it. I said, so we are reading something. What he cares for is another thing entirely. Guess what he cares for? He cares for your heart. How does God look at things? He said, God does not look at things from the outside. God look at the heart. So he says, my son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. Don't just come to fast and pray. He said, be observing my ways. You see the way I do it. He said, me, I'm fasting. I'm waiting for the past week. He said, look at my way. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm trying to do. That's where a believer can kill another believer and drag another church. Just remember, do you understand what God is doing, or are you talking about numbers? You don't understand. You ensure that this pastor is dragged down. I say, you've not even tossed out of God. You say, but he has more members than you. I don't care. I don't care who is talking stuff. God has led me into truth and light to teach the body of Christ. A lot of people are talking stuff, but the heart is not there. The heart of Christ is not there. I don't want us to be like that at all. The word of God was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives, our heart level. You are reading something. You are seeing something. And you are reading. Take your Bible. Let me show you this one. This one is interesting. In Isaiah chapter, in Psalm 50, this one is interesting. It's not about money. It's about money, rather. I don't want to quote it. I want us to enjoy this one. Look at God speaking. Here, verse number 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Verse number 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy foes. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? It's funny, but you could begin to think that God starts spending 3,000 naira, or God spend 500 naira. God will not spend the 200 naira offering or the 5,000 naira tithes. So you have to clarify it. I don't need anything. So if he doesn't need the sacrifice, the bulls and the goats, are we still in church this Wednesday? If he doesn't need the bulls and the goats, he doesn't need the oxen, he doesn't need the money, he doesn't need anything. What does he now need? No, remember, he calls for the sacrifice. So. But he said, I don't eat anything. He said, if hungry is catching me now, I won't tell you. I would have gotten anything I want. God was making that kind of point. To make a point. See, I just brought two bulls to God. They offered it last week. You know, they offered two bulls. I'm thinking about even bringing one more bull, you know. Then some people, some friends and Sadducees will say, thank you for your contribution. They say, we'll keep bringing bulls. We'll keep bringing bulls. And then you say, please sit here. God don't need the bulls, or God needs the girl. So what does God want if he doesn't take the bulls and the goats? And he says, bring them anyway. If God don't spend money and he says, bring it, what does he want? If God don't take, do anything with you, what he says, come, what does he want to do with you? I want you to think about that. What does he want to do with you? He doesn't need you. He said, without you, there will be no God. So he doesn't need you. That's not heavy. That should not be too heavy for you. He wants you, but he doesn't need you. He wants you to come. But he cannot say if you don't come, he will be affected. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need your praise. Say, I will not sing praise. Well, stones will give praise. If somebody say, I'm not seeing any stone giving praise. Stars and the moon and the sky, they all sing praise. Birds sing praise. So why? So I will not sing praise. I will not sing praise again now. Because of what you have said now. Okay, God is going to suffer. Okay now. Let's try and punish him because of what I have said. Oh, I will not do whatever. I don't sing praise anyhow. It's not praise. No. He says, I want your heart. My son, give me your heart. So while you are giving me money, giving me activities, outreach, doing all that, give me your heart. Let me walk in your heart. Because we could be doing all that and our hearts are far. We could be doing all this church and our hearts are far. And he doesn't want that. Give me your heart. If God doesn't require these things, let me go today. If God doesn't require these things, he wants something bigger than these things. He's after our hearts. A heart that longs after him. Come because you long after me. Come because you want me. Come, I want your heart longing after me. Not just the activity of coming.